She was afraid, you know, this was a risky surgery. She might not make it. She was praying to the Lord. She said, Lord, am I going to die? And the Lord spoke to her and said, no, you've got 30 more years to live. She went through the surgery. She came out, and she was so excited. She thought, you know what? I got 30 more years to live. I think I'm going to take care of some things. So rather than leaving the hospital, she had some work done, you know. I mean, she had a facelift, a tummy tuck, some liposuction, some, you know, complete overhaul. Had things added, things taken out. Man, she looked good. She walks out of the hospital, walks across the street, got run over by a car, and died. She goes up to heaven. She meets Jesus. She says, Jesus, thought you told me I had 30 years to live. He goes, oh, my goodness, I didn't recognize you. All right, it's not theologically correct, but part five on grace, called A Response to Grace. Now, I'm assuming that you've listened to the previous parts. We'll do a quick recap, but please feel free to get them at the table. If you missed parts 1 through 4, they're on the website. You can watch them. You can listen to them. We spent some time defining grace, looking at what grace is and what it isn't. Quick recap, what is grace? It's unmerited favor. It's God's influence acting in man to make him pure and morally strong. It's help from God. It's God looking down on you and saying, I want to bless you. I want to help you. I want to strengthen you. It's God wanting to show himself strong on your behalf. Yeah, not somebody else's behalf, on your behalf. That's what grace is. The Bible's full of this word grace. Let's unpack it. Let's look at what it is. To me, it's a gift. It's a gift that's wrapped and waiting for us to unwrap it and to bring it into reality in our life. The favor of God. What is it? It's an unfair advantage, we learned. Yeah, it's like David when he faced Goliath. He had an unfair advantage over a 10-foot, 800-pound, lean, mean, fighting machine. Here's a young boy with a stick and a stone, but he had an unfair advantage over that big old giant. He had the favor of God on his life. He said, grace is with me. That's why he called him an uncircumcised Philistine. It wasn't just trash talk, though it may have been that also. But it was a clear enunciation of the fact that David had a covenant with God Almighty, and that man didn't. He's saying, you're not in a covenant. You don't have going for you what I've got going for me. You might be big and ugly and mean and lean, and you have a spear that has a 16-pound tip on it. You got 140 pounds of armor on you, but I've got something you don't have. I've got something more powerful than all the armament this earth can put together. I've got the favor of God on my life. He said, I've got an unfair advantage, but I want to tell you today, you've got the same unfair advantage on you. God's no respecter of persons. What he did for him, he'll do for you. The favor that Moses had, you can have. The favor that Peter had, you can have. It's an unfair advantage. Grace is something awesome. It is amazing. When we started this series, I didn't really connect with Jordan. By the way, Jordan, I think, is doing an awesome job leading our worship team. But I told Mike, you know, because he prints stuff up, but I really didn't connect with Jordan. That first Sunday, they sang Amazing Grace, a divine setup there. It is amazing. It's very amazing. The fact that God would love us. Look at John 16:7, talking about an unfair advantage. You need to think about this when you get up in the morning and you're facing the trials of life. Think to you, I've got an unfair advantage. I'm on God's side. God's on my side. One plus God makes a majority. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. And Jesus said this. He said, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. Did he go away? Yeah. And he said, why? Why does he need to go away? What's the advantage? If I don't go away, the helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. Has he sent the helper to you? Have you gave him your life and he came to live on the inside of you? The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. He's given you an unfair advantage. Then we looked at, as we have gone through this series, how to increase grace. What increases grace? Can anybody tell me? No. Humility increases grace. Somebody's getting to my next question. I hear you. I feel you. What releases grace? Faith. Faith releases what grace can. contains. That's why sometimes people get messed up in their faith because they haven't spent enough time in the Word to find out where the grace is. Faith has to be connected with grace. Grace is God's part. Faith is our part. Romans 4:12 says he's given every man a measure of faith. That's up to us what we do with it. Jesus constantly encouraged people to use their faith. He constantly chided his disciples for their lack of faith, not being able to use their faith. And what he's saying is the lack in our life is not necessarily a lack on God's part. It's a lack of our ability to connect to the grace and get it released into our life. So I say that faith releases what grace contains. And we'll just go over a couple scriptures quickly that enforce that. Romans 4:16, for this reason, it is by faith that it might be in accordance with grace. There you go. It is by faith. Grace is God's part. Faith is our part. We find out where the grace is. If I want healing, I need to find out, is there a healing grace? If I can find it in the Word, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, I can take my faith, connect it with the grace, and release it into my life, right? The woman with the issue of blood said she followed Jesus around. She said to herself, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And Jesus said, who touched me? Because I felt virtue, power, healing, grace go out of me. Jesus didn't say something to her. She said something to herself. She says, I see a grace there. I'm going to touch it and it's going to come. And that faith released what grace contained, healing into her body, and said the issue of her blood was dried up right then. So faith releases what grace contains. Ephesians 2:8, we're pretty familiar with this verse, says this, for by grace are you saved. So what does that mean? That means when Jesus went to the cross, he provided saving grace, an unmerited, undeserved favor, an opportunity to have our sins blotted out, wiped clean, taken away. Does that mean that everybody's sins are forgiven? No, keep reading the verse. For by grace are you saved. What's the other half? There's God's part, then there's our part. What releases the saving grace into my life? For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith releases what grace contains. Aha, see how it's working now. Talking about this grace. It's powerful. Wow. So my next question where I want to go today is, that's pretty much recap where we've been. Encourage you to go back and re-listen to those because it's been changing my life. Just thinking about my own sermons because it's where I'm at. That's what I'm sharing with you. We're all on a journey. Amen. Nobody's arrived. I haven't arrived. I'm a work in progress. How about you? And I need grace. I need help. There's a devil loose. There's a curse on the planet. There's mean people, and I make mistakes. I need grace. How about you? We need grace. We need to tap into it. My next question then today is where we'll wrap this series up is, what then is my response to this grace? This amazing grace that is stored up for me, that's been poured out for me, that's available. What is my response? What is people's response that you know to the save? Have they responded? Have you responded to a saving grace? What other avenues are available to us through grace? My debt's been paid. Is that amazing? He paid a debt he didn't owe. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. Amazing grace, what he did for me. It's amazing. Here's some possibility. What then is my response to this grace? Let me just throw out some possibilities to kind of get us thinking. I could be in awe of this being who did this for me when I haven't done anything for him. Huh? When you got saved, had you done anything for him? I know I didn't. I didn't live for God, didn't think about God, didn't think about him too much. In fact, I didn't want to have anything to do with him. And he showed up, showed himself strong, spoke to me, told me he loved me, and I didn't do anything. Man, ought we not to be in awe? That's the definition of the fear of the Lord, a holy awe, a reverence of God. Should we not be in awe of this God who we have offended so many times, still loves me? Is that encouraging or what? Have you had friends that didn't want to be your friends anymore because you offended him? How many times have we offended God and he still loves us? Still loves us? Still believes in us? Still wants the best for us? Is still there for us? Will always answer the phone when we call? Will always be there? Oh, man. That's a possible response, to be in awe. Another response would be, I want to get to know this God. Huh, how about that as a possible response to the grace that's been poured out in my life? I'd like to get to know this being who is like that. What is my response? It could be to show him gratitude. Have you ever felt overwhelmed in our inability to thank God for what he's done for you? How about this as a possible response? I owe him my life. If he saved me from eternal separation from God and gave me an eternal home in heaven, what should I be doing with the rest of my time on this earth? I owe my life. How about this? I want to serve him. I want to be in his family. I want to be in his army. I want to be in his camp. I want to be in his church. I want to be on his team. How about this? I want to be more like him. Do you want to be more like this God of grace? Could I be more gracious? Yeah. Could all of us become more gracious this week than we were last week? Would that help us to tap in more to the grace of God to become more like him? How about I want to extend grace to others, the same grace that's been extended to me. When I'm driving down the street and somebody cuts me off, is there a possibility right there for me to extend some grace that they don't deserve because they shouldn't be pulling out in front of me right now? But have I got what I deserved? No. Do I want what I deserve? No. I want grace. I want favor. I want mercy. So maybe I shouldn't always be wanting to give everybody else what they deserve. Maybe I ought to be extending grace that might open the door to me to get more grace, right? Amen. What is my response? This is what I want us to think about this week. Thank God for grace. It's grace to study it. Great to study it and look at how great it is. But is there a response on my part that I need to make? Something I need to do? A possible response would be that I want to live a life that pleases this God of grace and not do anything that would offend him. How about I want to make him proud of me? Sometimes on earth, I don't know, maybe you live like this, that I always felt like it was impossible to make my dad proud. No matter how hard I worked, I always needed to do something else, but I find out God's not like that. He's easy to please. It's easy to make God proud of you. Just keep taking steps in the right direction. He doesn't expect you to be perfect. He just expects you to take that next step. How about this? I want to show him by my words, thoughts, and deeds that I'm truly grateful. How about this? I want to continue to receive his favor for the rest of my life. How about this? I want to teach others about this amazing favor. How about this? I want to use this amazing grace to battle the forces of darkness in my life. I want to use this amazing grace to overcome anger and not blame it. Oh, it's my red hair. It's my Italian background. It's, you know, I came about it rightly. My grandfather, my father, they were always angry. How about using this amazing grace to overcome some adversaries in my life that don't please God? How about using it to overcome anger? How about using it to overcome pride? Anybody here struggling with pride in your life? A few of you, that means the rest of you are losing the battle because you're not struggling with it, because the Bible says it's our default setting, selfishness and pride. So maybe you're so proud you couldn't raise your hand. I don't know. We've all got a battle on our hands. We've got a pride demon that's attacking us all the time. Come on, let's just be honest. It's my default setting. Every morning I get up, I'm selfish and full of pride, and that's why I have to pray and fast and seek God. Because that old ugly demon wants to rear its ugly head every day and overrun my life. That's what the Bible says. These are three default settings: the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. Maybe I can use the grace to become just a little less full of pride today than I was yesterday. Just a little less would be good, wouldn't it? How about if I use this grace to overcome addictions that are controlling me and keeping me from being what I want to be and what I know God wants me to be? How about using this grace to overcome some bad behavior? How about using some grace to overcome negativity? Boy, negativity is a curse. Just being negative. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. We have to have hope, and negativity just always destroys our hope. You can't have faith in negativity. You have to have faith in something hoped for. Negativity is a curse, and some people, you know, that's their weakness is negativity. How about using the grace of God to begin to combat a negative attitude? How about using it to overcome fear? You ever been controlled by fear? I shared the story with you in the past. Felt God call me to share out in public one day, and I was so afraid I couldn't do it. It made me mad. Fear controlled me from obeying God. I knew I offended God. I didn't do what he wanted me to do. It made me so mad. I went to battle and learned how to overcome my enemies and overcome fear. Grace can help you to overcome a fear that's keeping you from being what God wants you to be. How about using it to overcome lust or selfishness? 1 John, go with me to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says this, whatever is born of God, anybody in this room reborn, born again, born of God? A few of you, that's good. The rest of you will help you today before you leave. Y'all, everybody needs to get born again. It came a time in my life. I went to church as a child, went to the church school, wasn't born again, wasn't born of God. Then there came a time when I did. I surrendered my life to Christ. Born of God, whatever is born of God. Look at this. Whatever is born of God, wow, this is good news. Sometimes we act like whatever is going on negative in the world, oh my, oh me, it's so terrible, you know? Like we have no help. But the Bible says whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Yeah. I didn't write that. God wrote that. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that's overcome the world. What? Our faith. Faith does what? Releases what grace contains. There's a grace in your life available to you, to me, to overcome the world, whatever the world is throwing at you. Praise God. That's some good news. Those born of God have an unfair advantage over the world system. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. We looked at the beginning of it a few minutes ago. Let's look at the rest of this verse now. For this reason, it is by faith that it might be in accordance with grace, in order that the promise, now here's a key right here. We're going to unpack this a little bit today. For every problem you've got, there's a promise in the Word of God, I can assure you. God knew everything that we're going to face, every challenge, every trial, every difficulty in this life, and he made provision in his Word for us to overcome. Yeah, he's not ignorant to what we face. And there's a promise. You got to unpack the promise. The Bible is a treasure map of the grace of God. It's got X marks the spot. That's what I need to solve my problem. Here it is. You got to find it. You got to spend some time. Maybe you need some help. Maybe you don't even know anything about the Bible. I mean, I didn't know much about the Bible when I got saved either. But I thought this was a handle. I used to carry my Bible around like this. People said, no, that's not a handle. I didn't know much. I didn't know much about the Bible. And maybe you don't know much about the Bible. Maybe you need a little help. Somebody around you, sitting next to you, in front of you, behind you. I needed a job. I said, hey, I found a book of job right here. I'm looking to see if I can find my job. I thought the epistles were the children of the disciples. I didn't know. But you can get some help. We can try to help you find the grace that's available. For this reason, it is by faith that it might be in accordance with grace, in order that the promise may be certain to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. For every problem, there is a promise. Where is the grace? Go with me to Psalm 103. We're going to unpack this a little bit. I hope in looking at a few verses here, it might just throw a few seeds out for you to look at, to think about. There might be a grace available to help in your time of need. Psalm 103. Now, the Bible says the New Testament, there's a greater grace. Even the grace in the Old Testament that David was able to use to conquer Goliath, we have an even greater. We're looking at Old Testament verses. This is a Psalm of David, actually, in 103. He talks about the blessings of God. And these are the kind of things that he thought about when he went up against his adversaries. And the Bible says we have an even greater grace through the blood of Christ, which is better than the old covenant, which was the blood of bulls and goats. And if you don't understand that, we can explain that to you. Just what I'm saying is old covenant was a set of promises, and the new covenant is better. That's why it's a new covenant. Like we celebrated in communion. It's in the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross. So we have a better covenant. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord. He says it again. Oh, my soul. Sometimes you got to talk to your soul. Did you realize that? That's your will, your mind, your emotions. Sometimes your emotions can talk you out of the blessings of God, can make you depressed, discouraged, negative. And David talked to, David had some challenges in his life. Well, at one point in his life, when he returned to Ziklag, he had 600 mighty men, and they all wanted to stone him. His town was burned to the ground. The women and children and all their possessions were gone. He had some challenges in his life. And at times like that, is I think that where these statements were birthed, he had to speak to his soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't get all down in the mully grubs. Don't join the naysayers and even start tearing yourself down. Sometimes you got to talk to your own soul and say, bless the Lord. He came through for me before. He'll come through for me again. God's on my side. I'm going to make it. It doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural. I mean, if David was looking at that giant in the natural, he never would have gone out there. He had to look in the spiritual. And think about this. The whole Israeli army, they're supposed to be, I mean, even today, Israeli army, they're tough guys, right? They're hiding behind rocks. The king's in his tent. Nobody will face the giant. Why? They didn't have the faith that David had, not in his own strength, in his own God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And look at this. Forget none of his benefits. Sometimes we forget his benefits. Sometimes we don't know his benefits. Thank God he's going to begin to lay out for us some of his benefits. Look at this in verse 3. Look, he's going to lay out some benefits. I want you today to find something in this list of benefits that you need to lay hold of and lay hold of it today and say there's a grace there because I just saw it in the Word of God. It's my roadmap. There's the grace. Now what's going to release it? My faith. I take my faith, connect it with that grace it's going to release into my life. Can we be on the same page here? Who pardons all my iniquities. First thing, praise God, he pardons all my iniquities. Devil's keeping a lot of people out of fellowship with God because he's trying to beat you up on your mistakes from yesterday. Well, didn't we just take communion and confess everything to God? He pardons all my iniquities. Praise God, I have access to the throne room of heaven. I'm welcome in the king's home, in his breakfast table, at his throne. I can walk up, sit in his lap. He's my daddy. He calls me his child. He welcomes me. He cleanses me from all my sin. He pardons all my iniquities. Can I get an amen on that one? What else does he do? He heals all. How many? He heals a few of your diseases. Does it say that? Some. Most. All but the one you got right now. No. It says here, and I looked up that word all in the Hebrew. You know what it literally means? He heals all your diseases. Praise God. Whatever's troubling you right now, I'm just saying there it is in the Word of God. I didn't make it up. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it to you. He heals all your diseases. Now, why aren't I healed? Well, you know, let's just start hooking our faith up to it. What happens? Faith releases what grace contains. What else is available? What is this map showing us? Who redeems your life from the pit? Ever been in the pit? What happens in the pit? You get discouraged. You get beat up. You feel like you can't get out. I mean, things just weigh down on you. You got this cloud over your head. And what does he do? He redeems. I like that. Redeems. Another way to translate that would be he pulls it out and gives it a new purpose. Did you ever find something in the trash or in the dirt or something and you picked it up and you, hey, I could use that. Dust it off, clean it up, and you give it a new purpose. That's what God does with us. We've been beat up by the world, beat up by the devil, beat up by our own thoughts and negativity. And God looks down and says, hey, look at that. Let me pick them up and clean them off. I can use that. Yeah. He says, I can use them. They just need a little cleaning, a little healing, a little washing, a little help, and a little encouragement. And I can repurpose them. I can put them into their destiny, into their calling, and they can feel fulfilled, and they can be happy, and they can have a purpose, a new purpose in life. Yeah, he redeems my life from the pit. Praise God. Amen. Crowns you with loving kindness and crowns you. You know what? I was thinking about that this yesterday and today. You know, crown, it doesn't seem like it serves a real useful purpose. I mean, if the sun's shining, I want like a big brimmed hat. If it's cold, I want one that comes down over my ears. What does a crown do? It's a signal. It's a sign of your authority and who you are. And he crowns you with loving kindness. In other words, he blesses you just to show the world you're his own. You're his child. That's my son. That's my daughter. And I'm going to crown them with blessings to show them off to the world. Woo! That's some good stuff right there. crowns you with, hey, loving kindness and compassion. Do people in the world always treat you like that? Do people always love you, even when you don't do right or they don't misunderstand you? Do people just always extend to you loving kindness and compassion? No, not always, but you know what? God does. Always. Always. Man, I love God. Man, I love having a relationship with God. If you got a relationship with God, nothing can shake you. Doesn't matter what anybody says. If God says you're all right, you're all right. You'll be all right. You'll make it. Value your relationship with God above everything else and anything else. It's the only thing that's going to last throughout eternity. Crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Satisfies your years with bad things. Is that what it says? No, sometimes we act like that. Oh, I'm just suffering for Jesus. And I'll tell you, you need to be able, because Paul said, I know how to live in abundance. I know how to live in lack. I know how to suffer need. You know how to do that. You got to know how to do that. We just trust God that we're gonna make it. But the scripture doesn't say that that's our hope. It says he satisfies your years with good things. Our hope ought to be for good things. Yeah. Wherever we're at now, we're at a position where our hope is fixed on something better, something greater, moving up. Amen? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. So there's a scripture you lay your faith into right there. There's grace there for good things. What does it look like? Well, you have to unwrap that with God every day in your prayer time, but be believing for good things. He satisfies your years with good things. I'm just reading you the Bible. This is what it says. So that your youth is renewed like the eagle. You say, yeah, but I'm just getting old. I missed my great day. You know what? I've come to believe through reading Scripture, it's never too late to be what you could have been. Because with God, he lives in the eternal now. He can make up for time. He's ready to take you today and put you on the path of hope and victory and life. Your youth is renewed like the eagle. It's never too late to be what you could have been. It's never too late to fulfill the plan of God. Today, the Bible says in Hebrews, today is the day of salvation. Not yesterday and not tomorrow. Today, today, get on the path. He renews your youth like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. Yeah, in this life we're going to be oppressed, but hang on to faith in the grace of God that overcomes that. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. I want to be like Moses that understands his ways, not just sees his acts. The Lord is compassionate and what? Gracious. Slow to anger, abounding. Oh, that's the God that we serve. Abounding in loving kindness. He'll not always strive with us, nor keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Can I get an amen on that? Are you glad that for as high as the heavens are above the earth? See, sometimes we treat God like he's like us. We get angry, we get mad, somebody does us wrong, and we're offended, and we think God's like that. He wants to straighten it out right now. He says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on you here today. God's for you, not against you. Lay hold of a promise. You are a world overcomer. You just need to say that to yourself. I'm a world overcomer. I'm a giant slayer. Believe you have an unfair advantage. Be all that you're created to be. Don't let the devil hold you back. Don't let fear hold you back. You have an unfair advantage. Don't let your weakness or inability hold you back. I've got issues. You've got issues. Guess what? All God's children got issues. God's working on us. God's patient with us. Don't let your weakness hold you back. Admit that you have things that are holding you back, the weaknesses, fears, inabilities. Bring them to God. Find some grace to really get some healing, get some help. Get into a small group. Get some friends. Develop relationships. Come to the classes. Come to the service. We want to help you grow and become all that God created you to be. Rejoice, some ideas, things to think about this week. Rejoice in your uniqueness and your calling. You don't have to be like somebody else. You were born an original. Don't die a copy. Everybody in the world is trying to be like somebody else. Who's going to be you? You're unique. Celebrate your uniqueness. You know, when I was young teenager, I hated my curly hair, hated my nose, I hated everything about, you know, I always wanted to look like David Rawlerson. Man, he was so cool. He looked just like Glenn Campbell. Anybody remember Glenn Campbell? He had that perfect hair, man. It just, oh, everything. David, I just envied David Rawlerson's hair, man. It was just perfect. You know what? You need to get over that. I need to get over that and just embrace your uniqueness. God made you special for a reason. You're you. Don't try to be somebody else. Be thankful for who you are. Don't let society try to shape you and mold you into you need to look like this or you need to look like that. You need to look like what God made you to look like. Be happy you are who you are. Rejoice in you and be the best you that you can be. Rejoice in your uniqueness and your calling. You're a winner with God. You have an unfair advantage. God's on your side. What is your response to the grace of God? How about to give like never before? How about to live for God like never before? How about to love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? What is my response to this amazing grace? How about to tell others about this amazing grace? How about to defeat Satan in your own life? How about to live a life without limitations? David decided he wouldn't be limited by his age, his size, or his strength. He'd only be limited by the power and the favor of God. How about a life without anger? What's your response? How about forgiving others because I've been forgiven? How about being a blessing because I've been blessed? How about being happy because I have a friend that sticks closer than a brother? How about smiling at people because I have a secret admirer in heaven? Did you know you got an admirer secret to everybody else in the world? You got a secret admirer, Jordan. Wherever you go, wherever you do, he admires you. He loves you. He's for you. Everybody in this room has a secret admirer. You can smile when people are cussing at you and saying mean things because you think, I got a father. You know what? No matter whatever happened, my grandmother, I could do no wrong with my grandmother. Did anybody have a grandmother like that? Now, my parents knew better. I was always in trouble, but I could run to my grandmother, and she'd hide me behind her skirt. Oh, she'd protect. No, I never did anything wrong in the eyes of my grandmother. You got an admirer in heaven. He knows you're false, but he still loves you and believes the best in you and knows you're going to do better tomorrow, and he's with you. She wasn't stupid, but she was there for me. She knew I was pretty bad. I was a pretty bad little kid, but it was nice to know I could run to her, and she'd take up for me. You got a God in heaven who will take up for you. Praise God. Yeah, he's got a God in heaven who's a secret admirer, and he owns the whole universe, and he's crazy in love with you and willing to pour out favor on you and give you an unfair advantage. Did anybody get anything out of this today? Give the Lord some praise and be thankful. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we're so grateful for the grace that's been poured out on our life. And as we're here today, Lord, we're just thinking about how I can express my thankfulness in a greater way this week. How I can tap into that grace. Maybe you're here today and you got sickness in your body. You got somebody who doesn't like you. Maybe you're facing adversity at work. I want you to think about a provision in the Word of God. Some grace that's available to you that you need to tap into. Think about that for a minute. Do you need some grace? Do you need to release some grace? Can you believe God's on your side? He's with you. He's for you. He's not against you. Praise God. And just begin to think about where you need to release faith on your behalf to release grace into your life. Now I want you to think about somebody in your life that you can extend grace to, that you can give grace to, that you can encourage, that you can speak. Maybe you've hurt them. Maybe you've wounded them. Maybe they need to hear an apology from you. Maybe it's somebody that you don't have to communicate with. You just want to begin to pray for them. Maybe you haven't offended them, but they just need some help, and you just want to extend some support and some grace. I think it's good to keep a flow going. If we want God to continue to pour into us, let's find somebody we can pour. Who can I bless? Who can I encourage? How can I take one more step today closer to God? What do I need to be doing? Am I using all my gifts and talents and ability? Do I need to be leading a small group? Do I need to be praying with somebody at work? Do I need to share the gospel with somebody? Do I need to go out on campus or go downtown? What do I need to do, Lord, to keep moving, keep taking steps to show how grateful I am for the grace that's been poured out upon my life? Thank you for speaking to us this week. Right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I got a very important question for you. That is this: if you died right now, would you go to heaven? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? You might be here today. You say, I don't know, Pastor. Think so. Hope so. Not sure. Does anybody know for sure? Well, listen, let me tell you, that's a very important consequence to not be too sure about. And yes, the Bible says that you can know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? You know, someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. You must be born again. What does that mean? That means simply that there comes a time in your life when you surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to come live on the inside of you, forgive your sins. And he does that very thing. Accepts you as his own. Makes you into a new person. You're never the same. If you've never done that, or you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. But you might be here today. You say, you know what, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm not where I want to be with God. And I want to get on track with God. I want to make a new start. Today's a new day. Today I want to make a fresh start. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come up front. Just right where you're seated, if that's you, just slip up your hand real quick. Thank you. Anybody else? Today is a fresh start. Thank you. Anybody else? You want to be sure if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven? You want to trust him with your life, or you want to make a new start? Anybody else? I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Everybody pray this prayer with them. Dear Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People got born again, prayed that prayer.